Sometimes life can seem like a desert. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how God's Holy Spirit can bring streams of refreshing to our desert experience.
If you are going to be a yielded Christian, this idea of being popular with the world and Joe Cool with the world must be put aside. Sometimes you will be rejected by the world where you live. Your lifestyle, because it is Christ-like, is going to sometimes cause you rejection within the world, and people will not appreciate the way you live.
Are you facing a difficult situation, as though you are in the middle of a dry, parched desert? In our series, Streams of Refreshing, we will explore the desert experiences of great Bible characters. Each message will remind you that God is mightily at work, even during times of dryness and difficulty. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In every desert experience, God sends streams of refreshment to restore your soul and renew your strength for the journey ahead. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Yielded to God.
The Holy Spirit in the Bible is likened unto the water of life. And so when someone receives Christ as their Savior, God's Spirit takes up residence within them. Often, however, the stream of God's Spirit cannot flow fully unhindered because there are obstructions in the way. There is sin at times that will block the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. And what we want to learn today is how we might allow God's Spirit to flow freely through our lives as yielded Christians. You see, the Christian life is to be a life of surrender, and we are to be a people yielded over to God. Notice, if you would, in verse 13 this morning, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Did you know that an unyielded or stubborn Christian can be as wicked and defiling as a man who never knew Jesus Christ? Someone that is saved and yet unyielded can walk in a fleshly way that would horrify each and every one of us to think about. You see, the fact of the matter is that God's call for us today is that we might yield to Him. I remember as a teenager living in Korea, where my parents were missionaries, we would most of the time take taxi cabs to school in the morning. And I want to tell you that one of the most dangerous things I've ever done in my life is to ride a Korean taxi cab to school. For some reason, you'd get in there and you just get the apprehension up a little bit. And for some reason, all of the taxi drivers over there wear racing gloves so they can drive on the road, you know, and that should be your first hint. And one of the scariest parts of the ride to school is when we'd come up to one of those traffic circles. And some of you have seen those in different cities around America. And right outside of the traffic circle was always a big sign that said, yield. And it was amazing to me that even as the sign said, yield, I never in 3 years of going to high school ever was in a taxi where the cab driver yielded. In fact, always they became more aggressive as they approached the traffic circle. Did you ever watch the cartoon Speed Racer when you were a kid? All right, that gives you the idea just a little bit. They would shift down, and boy, they'd press the gas, and they'd hit into that traffic circle. And I mean, I have seen many, many car accidents in the traffic circle. I've seen bus drivers literally intentionally turn into a motorcycle and put them over the guardrail. And it's just amazing in the traffic circles that no one wanted to yield. And because of that, oftentimes the ambulances would visit the traffic circle and clean up the mess. Well, isn't that just like our autonomous human nature? You see, we don't like the words yield, submit. We don't like the words surrender, because oftentimes we're bent on getting our way in this life. And like a Korean taxi driver approaching the traffic circle, so oftentimes we have our agenda and we're going to see it through no matter what. And sometimes the greatest hindrance to the refreshing power of God in our lives is our own pride and our unwillingness to yield to God. You see, God is very clear that we are not to yield ourselves unto the things of this world and the sins of this world, but we are to yield ourselves unto God. There are only two choices on the shelf: serving God or serving self. And today I want to challenge you in the area of being a yielded Christian. You see, at the heart of worship is a yielded life. I want you to note that in your notes this morning. At the heart of worship is a yielded life. And if we do not come today with a yielded heart, then we're not really here to worship. We're here because someone twisted our arm to come, or we felt like we had to come. But until we really yield ourselves to God, we're not really worshiping God. And in today's competitive culture, when we often do not want to submit, I want to challenge you today that the focal point of living a spiritual life is to be totally yielded to God. Now, the Bible refers to this matter of yieldedness in a variety of ways. And in your notes, you might want to jot some of those down. Sometimes the Bible refers to it as consecration. Consecration. Have you ever read about consecration? Perhaps you've heard the illustration of your dishes or china set up in a shelf. They are there. They are consecrated. They are ready for you to take down. They are ready for the master's use. And God wants us to be ready for His use. He wants us to be consecrated unto Him. Sometimes the Bible refers to this as dying to self. Dying to self. We read about that right here in Romans chapter 6 just a moment ago. If we're going to be yielded to God, then we must die to our own selfish desires and be alive to Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Bible refers to a yielded life in this way: being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. A life that is filled with the Spirit is not controlled by a selfish ambition, but it is completely yielded to the Lord. And then a fourth way, sometimes we refer to the yielded life in this way: by taking up your cross. Remember when Jesus said that? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. A yielded life is a life where we are willing to follow Christ no matter what the cost. And so yielding to God is a matter of trusting God. Yielding to God is a matter of trust. Now, why is it sometimes that people refuse God's gift of salvation? Why is it that some Christians refuse to trust God in the area of perhaps their church attendance or giving or a trial in their life? Why do we refuse to trust God? Why is it today that perhaps there's a little part of your heart that is unyielded? I want you to know today that God loves you, and there is no reason why you cannot trust Him. There's no reason why you and I cannot yield to Him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And as we realize the love of God, the fear can subside and the trust can begin. Now listen, yielding to God is not some type of passive resignation or laziness or fatalism. Yielding to God does not mean that you stop thinking. God has given you a mind and He wants you to reason and think. But yielding to God means that you are trusting Him with the outcome. You are trusting Him with every decision of your life. It is a matter of trust and obedience. Yielding to God is saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. And by the way, just for a moment, think of the opposite, if you would, of the words, yes, Lord. Think of it this way: no, Lord. How many of you understand that's one of the great contradictions in the English language? If He's Lord, you don't say no to Him. And so God wants us to say yes to the Lord. He wants us to be yielded to Him. I believe, for example, that many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, as they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were totally yielded to the Lord. They were yielding to Him their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors. It was a matter of trusting God to put your name on that Declaration of Independence. I think, for example, of Samuel Adams, who wrote in November 20th, 1772, a little pamphlet called The Rights of the Colonist. And he wrote these words: the right of freedom is the gift of the Almighty. The rights of the colonist as Christians may be best understood by the reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and the head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament. I believe that these men were trusting in the God of the Bible and trusting in the Word of God as they went forward, yielded unto Him to establish this nation. This morning, I want you to take a brief journey with me, and we're going to look at four Bible characters, people who are going to step out of the crowd this morning and challenge us to live a totally yielded life unto God. Their only guarantee was the Word of God. Their only promise was the Scriptures. And yet these people were people who yielded to God and who followed His will for their lives. And I pray that as we take a quick snapshot at these various people's lives, that we ourselves would be a more yielded people to the Lord. Let's first of all notice this morning Abraham. And in your notes this morning, I want you to jot down this. Abraham obeyed God before he knew where he would go. Abraham obeyed God before he knew where he would go. Now, when you study yielded people in the Bible, you're going to find that they didn't have all the answers up front. And sometimes Christians today want all the answers up front. I'll forgive my husband if I know he will never hurt my feelings again. I'll begin tithing if God tomorrow morning gives me a 10% raise. I will trust God when He does such and so. But you're going to learn that yielding to God means totally trusting Him. Abraham obeyed God before he even knew where he would go. Now turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis for a moment, first book of the Bible, and let's see what God says to Abraham as we learn about yielding to God. The Bible says in Genesis 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now here we see God telling Abraham to leave the Mesopotamian region and to go to a land that He would show him. In other words, God doesn't say to Abraham, "I'm going to send you to such and so place." He says, "I just want you to start moving, Abraham. I just want you to head in the right direction." By the way, did you know that God cannot steer a parked car? Did you know that He wants us by faith to go ahead and put it in drive and to allow Him to take the steering wheel and to begin giving direction in our lives? And so God says, "Abraham, I'm not even going to tell you immediately where you're going to go, but I want you to go ahead and be ready and be yielded." How many of you know that if God were to show you every experience of your life before it happened and every place that you would have ever gone and every challenge that you would have ever had, that you would have sat still and never been anywhere in your life? Because the fact of the matter is that we do not always want to trust God ahead of time. God says, "I want you to go, Abraham. I want you to go to a land that I'll show you." Now, notice a few things about Abraham's journey. First, he was willing to go alone. He was willing to go alone. God says, "I want you to get out of your country and from your kindred." In other words, if no one else goes with you, I want you to be that yielded. Did you know that sometimes living a yielded life may mean living a lonely life? Sometimes God's men in the Bible were men who had to be willing to leave their comfort zone in order to be yielded unto God. The Bible says in the words of Jesus, Matthew 16, 24, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I don't know what your cross may be, but sometimes it may be the rejection of people that you've known. And Abraham had to be willing to go alone, like Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so Abraham was a man who was willing to go it alone. Secondly, Abraham was a man who went by faith. And whatever you do in your life that will please God, it will be by faith. Abraham had to be willing to go, not knowing where the destination ultimately would be. I believe one of the reasons that God did not tell Abraham was because God wanted him to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, faith is the daring of the soul to go farther than it can see. And there are times in our lives when we must step out by faith, because it is only at those times when God will truly receive honor and glory. For example, in our building programs, we try to count the cost and do our best. But every time we've ever put the shovel in the ground and started a building, we've always known, "God, if you don't provide, then we're not sure how it's going to be done. You see, friend, if we can figure it all out up front, then God doesn't get glory from that. But when we put our faith and confidence in Him, then He receives honor and glory for the fact that we were yielded to Him from the beginning to the end. And so Abraham was willing to go alone. He was willing to walk by faith. And I want you to see, thirdly, Abraham believed that God would bless him. Abraham believed that God would bless him. Now notice what it says there in Genesis 12:2. God says, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." How many of you know that the nation of Israel is a very strong nation, and that through this nation and through this people, God has blessed the entire world today? You say, "Well, how do you mean that, Pastor?" Well, for example, we have today a Bible through the Jewish people. We have today a Savior through the line of David. We have a soon coming Savior because of the promise given to David. And so God says, "Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to head out. I want you to know that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I want you to follow me by faith." I think back to the early days of our church here. We pulled into Lancaster and began ministry. And I remember the first bulletin article I ever wrote. And in that bulletin article, I simply wrote a letter to our church that said, "I believe that today will be the beginning of a long and fruitful ministry." Someone says, "Pastor, how could you have written that? You didn't know where the journey would take you. You didn't know where the church would meet. You didn't know how the needs would be met." No, but I knew this, that when God's word is preached, it will not return unto Himself void. And that if we would faithfully preach the word of God in season and out of season, that God would bless. You see, Abraham followed God even when he didn't know where the journey was going to take him. I want to challenge some of you this morning not to worry so much about the destination, but to be concerned that you are yielded to God every day of the journey, and He will guide your steps, and He will direct your path. Well, let's look at another person today in the Bible. Her name is Hannah. And I want you to let Hannah step out and testify to you this morning about having a yielded life. 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you want to look at Hannah's life, you'll find, of course, that she's the mother of Samuel. But when we first meet Hannah in the Bible, she's not the mother of Samuel at all. In fact, she has not had a man-child or a son, and her heart is heavy about that. And I want you to jot down in your notes what we learned from Hannah's life. Hannah followed God without knowing when He would bless her. Some of you are waiting for a spouse to be saved. Some of you are waiting for a family member to come back to the Lord, and you're wondering when. And I want to challenge you to be yielded to God today, even though you don't know when these things will come to pass. Hannah yielded to God without knowing when He would bless her. Now look at the story of Hannah's life, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11 in your notes there. The Bible says that she's praying to the Lord, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." In other words, she was going to dedicate her son to the service of the temple, and eventually he would become the first prophet of the children of Israel, who would anoint David as the king over all of Israel. Now learn a few lessons from Hannah this morning. Notice first of all that she prayed in faith. She prayed in faith. She was a woman who was willing to trust God to provide her for a son. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." You see, my friend, no matter what you do in this life, when it comes to God and your relationship with God, it's going to be faith that pleases Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." And so Hannah prays in faith. And notice, secondly, she promises in faith. She gives God a promise that if He provides for her, she will honor Him. Now, I trust that you can say from your heart, "God, as You provide for me, I'm going to honor You with that substance." And she promises in faith. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 11. "If You will give to me a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. That's the promise that she made. God, if you'll provide this son, I will give him to you. Similarly to how we have trusted God in various prayer requests as a church. Lord, would you provide for us in a building program or in a missions program or providing a job for someone in the church? And Lord, when you do, we're going to honor you for what you have done for us. By the way, I believe that God honored Hannah because he knew that she would keep her vow. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And I believe that when Hannah said, God, I'm going to give my son back to you, God knew her heart, and God blessed her prayer according to the veracity of her prayer request and of her heart being truthful with God. And so we see Abraham. He was a man who said, God, I'm going to yield to you. Even though I don't know where you're taking me, I'm going to be yielded to you. We see Hannah. She said, God, I'm going to yield myself to you. Even though I don't know when you'll answer this prayer request, I know that you will. And I pledge myself and my future son to you. Let's look at a third character this morning, perhaps one of our favorites in the Bible, and that's Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to turn there to Luke chapter 1. As you turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse number 30, about Mary. Here was a woman totally yielded to God, a woman who had given herself as a yielded vessel unto him. And I want you to jot down on your notes this morning this fact about Mary. Mary trusted God without knowing how God would work. Mary trusted God without knowing how God would work. Now let's look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. May I just stop and say, in this ecumenical hour where so-called Christians are holding hands on one side with Muslims and on another side with Hindus, may we be reminded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if we compromise that, we might as well close the doors today, because the cornerstone of our faith is that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God and the Redeemer of the world, and may we stand true to that principle. The Bible says in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, my friends, were it not for the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary, were it not for the fact that the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary and that Jesus Christ was born as the Son of God, then when he died on the cross and shed his blood, there would be no atonement for our sin today. For if Jesus were just another man or just another prophet, then the atoning on the cross would be null and void. But because he was the Son of God, and because flowing through his blood lines was not the blood of another man, not the blood of the Adamic race, but the very blood of the Son of God. When the blood was shed, it was sufficient for the covering of our sin. For without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. Yet imagine yourself as Mary for a moment, a young maiden, a pure and young and holy woman. And yet she's being told that she would give birth to the Son of God. I dare say that she was overwhelmed and did not understand exactly how this would take place. How would the angel explain the Holy Ghost coming upon her? What PowerPoint presentation would have made it clear? I would say to you, it was something that she would not understand by science. It was something she would not understand by some mathematical equation. There was only one way that Mary was going to trust God, and that was by faith. And the Bible says in verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
Sometimes it can be hard to tell what makes Christian college valuable to you. When you consider a college, it's important to choose a place that will nurture your faith the most. West Coast Baptist College is a four-year Bible college dedicated to training men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know someone who is, visit our website today at wcbc.edu or text 661-430-5300.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chapel would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.